Trendstorm.
Welcome back to Trendstorm. Now let's take a look at the terrorist attack in Manchester. The late-night suicide bombing at the exit of a packed music concert in Manchester shocked the entire world, but also brought the divided British people together in presenting a unified front against terror. Whether it's Brexit or the upcoming elections, there has been plenty for Brits to argue over lately. Though they put all that aside in the name of coming together in the aftermath of this terrible terrorist attack. Investigators believe that a lone suicide bomber detonated a nail bomb at the end of the concert, killing at least 22 people and injuring more than 60. Many of the concert goers were teenagers and young children who had flocked to Manchester Arena to see one of our generation's top pop divas perform. Ariana Grande, the star of the show, wrote afterwards on Twitter that she was broken and had no words to describe how she felt, an empty feeling which resonated with just about everyone who heard about what happened. True to their characteristic resolve, however, the British people weren't going to let terrorism get the best of them, and they quickly banded together to aid the wounded and house the survivors. This heartwarming display of sincere care and affection drew applause from all across the world, and it demonstrated the right way for society to band together in the aftermath of such attacks. The British reaction also drew parallels to the Russian one, where locals also helped survivors and aided paramedics following a suicide bombing in the St. Petersburg metro last month. Both countries, separated as they are by the politics of the new Cold War, have both nonetheless fallen victim to the same sort of Wahhabi terrorism that most of the world is fighting against, and this presents an unexpected chance to join forces combating this evil together. There's another possibility which is much more certain, however, and is that the UK will seek to tighten its already strict surveillance state and broaden its wide national security state legislation in response to the Manchester suicide bombing. The UK is presently regarded as one of the most monitored countries in the world, yet even this somewhat ignominious distinction didn't prevent the attack from happening. In the interest of public safety and security, though, the UK might even take its efforts a step further, though there's no telling how far it could go in this regard and whether the people will still remain united if this happens. So, folks, to start off this very interesting discussion today, we're joined by Mr. Alan Bailey. He's a political activist from the UK.
Trendstorm.
All right, Alan, as a parent, what sorts of thoughts are swirling around your head after this latest terrorist attack targeted so many children?
Well, exactly. The main thought is pretty much what the bomber planned us to think. The most vulnerable and precious members of society are being targeted, and we're all left horrified. My own daughter's 9, so she's approaching the age where she starts wanting to go to music concerts. And obviously this is foremost in my mind. But as with the metro bombing in St. Petersburg a few weeks back, that didn't stop the residents there from using the facilities, and it won't stop us either.
Yeah, I noticed that, you know, Brits have come together, and I wanted to know if you can tell us about how Brits have also put aside their very harsh political differences at times to unite in the aftermath of this attack.
Yeah, the population of Manchester, certainly, which is very close to me, about 40 minutes away, has really come together. At the time of the event, we saw taxis offering free services, people with spare rooms in houses offering sleeping facilities to people stranded after the concert. So it's great to see something positive come from really a terrible event. As you know, during Brexit, the country was really split down the middle, and very close friends would often be found arguing over this. And certainly for the moment, that's been forgotten. We'll see what happens around the 8th of June on the election.
Yeah, that's what I want to ask you, Anna, but how long do you anticipate this unity lasting? I mean, do you think it'll last up to and beyond the election, or do you think that it might just unfortunately fade away once these political issues come back to the surface?
I think because the world is sadly now so used to such atrocities, I'm sad to say I think this is a temporary thing. When we get more, you know, events here in the country that grab the headlines and the mainstream media focus on, that the solidarity we now have will probably be forgotten for a while, I'm sad to say.
Yeah, it is very sad, but I mean, if there's any hope, I'd like to say, I mean, I would hope that maybe the UK would be able to overcome its political differences, not just internally among Brits, but also externally with other states such as Russia, and hopefully broaden its anti-terrorist cooperation with Russia and other non-traditional partners after what happened. So what do you think about these prospects? Do you think they're feasible, or it's just too early?
I think it's going to depend what happens on the 8th. Depending on who wins the general election, we're going to see a very different foreign policy from the UK, leaving aside the left-right-wing paradigm and domestic politics. If we get a Corbyn-led Labour victory, we're going to see a much more conciliatory, dialogue-based relationship. Corbyn's spoken out many times against the NATO expansion and that sort of thing, and would certainly reach out to Russia with a much more friendlier intention. If, as expected, we get the Conservative May government back, although the race is getting quite close, I fear we're not going to see much change, even though the population here really isn't hawkish at all to Russia. On the recent Victory Day celebrations on May the 9th, we're seeing larger and larger processions and celebrations, and the Russian flag was even flown over Manchester, topically. So you can see that the government line that we see isn't really the population's line.
Okay, I noticed, Alan, as we've been talking for the past couple minutes, you've referred a couple times to the upcoming election. So how do you think this terrorist attack might affect the outcome?
Well, we all thought that what would happen was that the more hawkish, militaristic base, which would be the Conservatives, would benefit from this. But it seems that the people, the population, are almost rejecting that now and looking where the terrorist guy came from, which was Libya. His parents were trained by us and sent out there to topple Gaddafi. Speaking to lots of my friends and clients, they all seem quite aware of this. So I don't think the Manchester bombing is going to swing it one way or the other.
Okay, I think that's pretty interesting, Alan, because it almost seems like with the proliferation of information nowadays, people are finding out about this bomber, his background, the connections with the UK state security services, and it seems like it's kind of going to buck the trend. Instead of giving, you know, points for the Conservatives, as you said, it might not, you know, go on anyone's side, or if anything, by relative comparison, it might, you know, actually help the other side in this case.
I think so. I think there's a good chance of that. As we know, you know, news outfits like Sputnik and RT, many more people are looking to alternative news sources now. So we're not just seeing the same old government line that's fed to us every day. We're looking at different alternative viewpoints, and on Facebook there's many groups giving us the other side of the coin, information-wise. And people are slowly beginning to wise up to this, and it's very heartening to see. It gives me some encouragement.
All right, Alan, thanks very much for sharing your insight with us. I know this is a very scary and emotional topic, but I was very happy that you can come onto our show and tell us what you think. Thank you, Alan. Now we're going to switch over to Mr. Marcus Godwin. He's a political commentator.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Marcus, so what does it tell us about the true state of security in the UK, or I mean, just about anywhere in the West for that matter, that a suicide bomber was able to successfully infiltrate into a major venue, such as an Ariana Grande concert, and blow themselves up with a nail bomb?
Well, you know, on the one hand, by all accounts, the bomber blew himself up in the foyer as people were leaving. There were actually security checks and band checks going into the auditorium, but not into the foyer. So the obvious solution is to have security checks at the foyer. But the trouble is that will cause large queues outside, and the bomber could just as easily blow himself up there. Russia and many other countries have faced the same problem with the airports. Now we know that to go into an airport in Moscow or St. Petersburg, you have to go through security at the foyer, not just entering the airport building itself. Personally, I don't think there's any way you can stop these kind of bombers. They can do this in a high street, on a train. You can try, but the more security there is, the better. But someone like this will always find the way to be at the right place at the right time and get through.
Yeah, I mean, the way that you argued it, it's scary, but it's real. You're right. I mean, you can't have huge lines of people outside. They can be targeted just as easily as if they were leaving the concert. So the next thing I want to ask you about, Marcus, I mean, you spoke about security. And we know that the UK, it's already known for its ubiquitous surveillance programs and broad national security legislation. So how do you see these two being enhanced or possibly even expanded after the Manchester attack?
Unfortunately, well, we now see that they want to put the army on the streets of Great Britain. This is something new. It's not new in France since the attacks of a couple of years ago. You know, you see soldiers with machine guns patrolling everywhere in the public in France, in public places, in railway stations and a metro station. This is now going to happen in Great Britain. I do not really see what this is going to do to enhance the security of the British public. It is definitely going to affect the mentality and the psychology of the British public. and, you know, not really for the better. It's rather alarming to see soldiers on the street. Once you get used to it, a public is much more psychologically ready to accept war, to accept conflict. We who grew up in, you know, what used to be called, rightly or wrongly, the Free West, are not used to seeing the army on the streets. That was something that happened in Congo or Afghanistan, et cetera, not in our countries. And it's becoming more and more ubiquitous now that after a terrorist attack, the government ups the ante and there are soldiers everywhere. There's more surveillance of social networks and more laws passed to make it legal for them to listen to your private telephone conversations, et cetera, and the terrorism continues. In fact, it's getting worse. You know, there are more terrorist attacks in Western Europe now than there ever have been, except, of course, Britain has this particular history with the Irish problem and the IRA. This was it was a different reason, I think, for this terrorism. But it was extremely virulent at the time. But overall, you know, France did not have that problem. France was not being blown up in the 1970s by all sorts of people. Neither was Germany. Neither were people driving lorries through crowds.
Yeah, well, you know, Marcus, I mean, when, you know, the point of terrorism, it's obviously to instill fear in the population, but to what degree could this inadvertently be accomplished through a strengthened national security state in the aftermath of what happened? Or how likely is it that people just grin and bear it as a necessary trade-off in guaranteeing their security? I mean, you were just talking about how there's troops on the street, people from your generation don't really feel comfortable with that, but this new generation, they're going to grow up not knowing the difference. So, I mean, what do you make out of all this?
Well, as I said, I'm afraid, you know, I do believe that in some ways this helps the governments of Western countries and their deep state prepare the people for more war and more military conflict. The unfortunate fact of the matter is that Great Britain is one of the world's exporters of terrorism. The British government is ruthlessly behind the attempts to overthrow the government of Syria. And they are using terrorist organizations to do it. They are training them and they are funding them at British taxpayers' expense. Whether this particular young man turned against the British people of his own mind or whether this was some kind of false flag organized by the British state, I think none of us have concrete evidence to say. But any objective, conscious person will have to at least suspect that some elements in the British establishment, above all what we've come to know as the deep state, could be responsible for this. The timing is very, very convenient, as Theresa May is losing her grip on the general election. Her performances on television are, quite frankly, appalling. It's one of the worst political performances we've ever seen. I think the British establishment are very afraid that Jeremy Corbyn might just make it as Prime Minister in 2 weeks' time. You know, the reports are coming through that this young man was the son of a Libyan family, and his father was a mid-ranking intelligence officer in Gaddafi's intelligence services who was recruited by the British as a spy. When his cover was blown, he was immediately, with his family, invited to live in Great Britain, and they settled in Manchester. You know, what is the British government doing overthrowing the government of Libya? Why? How does this benefit the great British public? How does it benefit the people who are now grieving for lost relatives or are now lying in hospital seriously injured? It doesn't benefit us one iota. Why is our government doing this? What goes around comes around.
All right, Marcus, these are some pretty interesting thoughts. I think you raise a lot of issues about the national security state and also about the blowback of supporting terrorists in the Mideast. These are some very sensitive topics, but I think people would do well to think about them. Thank you.
Trendstorm.
Now, folks, if we think about what Alan and Marcus told us, we can really come to the conclusion this is a very, very, very tragic event. I mean, I'm almost heartbroken thinking about what happened because so many children were just slaughtered for absolutely no reason at all. But on the other side of things, this is going to be a political event. You cannot remove the politics from this. We already see that there are some serious indications this is blowback from the UK support of terrorists and other types of militants in the Mideast and North Africa. And we also see that the UK might take advantage of this in strengthening the national security state. Also, we have the upcoming election, so we'll have to see how this impacts on their outcome, if at all. So, folks, if you want to sound off and share what you think about the Manchester suicide bombing, everything related to it, including the forecast for the upcoming elections, please send us an email at radio@sputniknews.com or find us on Facebook. Stay with us.